Good morning. Today's Daf Machlokes is Tes Zayin. We are back on Tes Vav. And we are in the very bottom of Tes Vav Amud Aleph, and we are about to engage in the following discussion. Our discussion has been yesterday and will continue to be today. This idea of lav anitak la'aseh. When you have a lav in the Torah then gives a way to remedy the lav. So as we've been discussing over the course of the Gemara, there are a number of examples in the Torah where the Torah make such a stipulation. And what we were focusing on yesterday is this idea that a lav anitak la'aseh has to be specifically a scenario in which, well, I'm sorry, before we get to that, the lav anitak la'aseh, you're not going to get malchus, meaning that's it's a patur malchus. The Torah tells you what to do in the event that you violated the lav, so therefore, in lieu of malchus, so you just simply are mekayim the aseh, and you're not going to get malchus. Okay, so that's point number one. So for lav anitak la'aseh, you're not going to get malchus. However, Rav Yochanan taught us yesterday, and this is what we spent most of our time yesterday discussing, is that this is only true when the lav anitak la'aseh, the aseh is tailor-made for the lav. Meaning that the only time that there's an aseh opportunity is when I violated the lav. But if I didn't violate the lav, there just simply would be no aseh opportunity. If, however, let's say there's this more general aseh, which happens to also work in a scenario in which I violate the lav, so that does not fall into the category of a classic lav anitak la'aseh, and according to Rav Yochanan, one would be getting malchus for such a scenario. Okay, so in other words, according to Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish may argue with this point, and I'll show you Rashi in just a couple minutes from now, where Rashi says that Reish Lakish does argue on this point, but according to Rav Yochanan, so a lav anitak la'aseh is going to be have a patur malchus, will be exempt from lashes, but only in a situation where the aseh was tailor-made for this lav. And is only going to present itself only when the person violated the law. Okay, so that's the rule that we saw yesterday with Rav Yochanan. Okay, and just picking it up right from there, we are now in the very bottom of Tes Vav Amud Aleph. We are just continuing. Hani Chalaman Damer. Right, the very bottom lines of Tes Vav Amud Aleph. So Hani Chalaman Damer Bitla Vela Bitla Laman Damer Kima Vela Kima Maikel Amemar. Okay, so the Gemara says, look. There is another machlokas which we're about to see in just a couple of moments from now, and that is how to understand when a person violates a lav. I'm not talking about just any lav, we're talking about specifically lav in the Tech last day. Look, I have a lav in the Torah where the Torah gives me a reparation, a way of undoing, repairing that which I did. Okay? Again, lav in the Tech last day. So, I'll give you two options and we'll identify who said what. One option is bitlo velo bitlo. Now, bitlo velo bitlo, those are just simply the code words. They actually fit into a brisa. We haven't seen the brisa yet, but I'll present the idea, and then we'll see the brisa inside in a couple of minutes from now. Bitlo velo bitlo means that you violate a lav, and now the Torah says, but in this situation you have an aseh to undo that which you did. So now, is a lav on the books, meaning you violated the lav? Are you now formally an avaryan? Did you violate the lav now where you are considered a bal avera? So if you subscribe to bitlo velo bitlo, the answer is not yet. Not yet. When is a lav register as a lav? Only when you yourself actively negated the opportunity to do the aseh, to undo it. So in other words, basically according to, and this is the shita of Rav Yochanan, for Rav Yochanan, a lav anitak la'aseh is really a two-step violation. Step one, I violate the lav. Step two, I have to actively negate the opportunity to do the aseh. I'll give you an example. And I don't have to be creative, because there's an example coming up later this morning. Let's say Shiloh HaKen. Okay, the Torah says that if I see mothers hovering over a nest on top of either its eggs or its young, so I have a mitzvah, says I have a positive commandment where I send away the mother bird and I then take the either the chicks or the eggs. If, however, let's say I violate the Torah and I take the mother bird away right in front of its chicks and eggs, so I just violated the Torah. So now, it's undoable, right? In other words, what I can do now is I can just simply put the mother back and then take the eggs and the chicks. Or I'm sorry, I could take them, put the mother back, send her away, and then take the eggs and the chicks. So it's undoable, right? If you subscribe to the concept of bitlo velo bitlo, which is the sheet of Rav Yochanan, so that means like this. Even if I take the mother bird away, so I violated the lav, am I going to be subject to malchus as of yet? No. And when am I going to be subject to malchus? There has to be a part two. To it, and that is I have to actively negate the possibility of rectifying the situation. Well, how do I actively negate? So I kill the mother bird. So in other words, so for Rav Yochanan, the violation of this lav will come with step one, I'm taking the mother bird away. That's the lav. Step two, I kill the mother bird, so now I have no chance of rectifying the situation. If I do those two steps, and only when I do those two steps, am I going to be in violation of this particular law. That is the shita of Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish, as we'll see in just a moment, holds kimu velo kimu. Again, those are the words that you plug into the brisa. But basically what that means is as follows. When do I violate the law? It's very simple. When I violate the law. Meaning the moment that I violate the law, so that's it. It's now recorded. Now the Torah does give me a chance to undo it. And now when I say a chance, it's not perfectly clear. The Gemara never makes it perfectly clear, like how much time you have. But the idea is that it has to be immediate. Meaning that your first immediate opportunity to undo it, that's it. That's the chance that you have to rectify the situation. If you don't rectify it immediately, even though there's a chance to do so, now you're in full violation of the law. And that's the position of kimo velo kimo. What do you mean, has to kill? No, just the opposite. According to Rav Yochanan, you're not over on the law yet. You still have a chance. You have a chance. You have a makeup. It's not in the books yet. According to Rav Yochanan, bitlo velo bitlo means that I only violate the law only after I actively negate the chance of correcting. In the case of the mother bird, so I just kill the mother bird. So that's it. So now I've actively negated. Okay. So I know it's a lot to think about, but let's see. The Gemara now has the following discussion. I'm going to start again. Hanich lamandam bitlo velo bitlo. So the truth of the matter is that all this makes perfect sense if you subscribe to Rav Yochanan's principle of bitla v'la bitla. Elamanda amrikimu v'lo kimu maikala meima. But if you still subscribe to Reish Lakish, so then how are you going to be, how are you going to explain this? Now this, by the way, I should have reviewed this as well, sorry. This meaning what we were discussing yesterday. The guy who's ma'anis a woman, the Torah says to marry her, Torah says not to divorce her, and what we were discussing yesterday is that this is seemingly a lav nitak lase, right? Because in other words, what happens is that if he divorces her, she has a chance of remarrying her. And so we wanted to know yesterday, well, is that fall into the category of lav nitak lase? Well, we know for sure, I mean, the Brisa said yesterday, that if an ones is megarish his wife, so he's not going to get malchus. So how exactly does that work? So we went over a couple possibilities yesterday, but one possibility that we went through yesterday in terms of him not getting Malkus is because we had to reconsider how to understand the Aseh and the Los Aseh. And one of the approaches that we had yesterday, really the last approach that we had yesterday, the Gemara quoted in the name of Rava and in the name of Ravin, that basically this is how you understand the mitzvah and the lav. The mitzvah is that when he's marrying his Anusa, so under the, I gave a little bit of a dramatic scenario, but under the chuppah, as he's marrying her, so the Masada Kedushin says to her, you know, you're fulfilling a mitzvah in doing so, and if in the event you divorce her, you should know, you continuously still have to marry her. In other words, remarry her. Meaning that included in the mitzvah of marrying her is also the principle, the concept of, and if you divorce her, you got to take her back. And so that is how this particular lav is tailor-made for this particular assay. That's what we said yesterday. Gemara says that all works out if you subscribe to Rav Yochanan's principle. But you see, if you subscribe to Reish Lakish's principle, none of this makes any sense. Because Reish Lakish will tell you what would be an example of a lav nitak lase. That's only when you do the lav, and then you have a moment to make it up. And if you don't make it up within that moment, that's it. It's on the books. This idea that somehow it extends, the law extends until you actively negate, that only works according to Rav Yochanan. So this whole scenario that we painted yesterday about the man marrying the Anusa, and there he has both the Essay and the Los Assay, and the Los Assay is just simply attached, linked to the Assay, and every time he divorces her, he will have an opportunity to remarry her to fulfill the Assay, the Lava Nitak Lassay. So the Gemara says that all works out, but only according to Rav Yochanan, not according to Reish Lakish. To which the Gemara says, now as we turn to the top of Tezvav Amid Beis, the Gemara says, "Midu time I love Rav Yochanan, Amar le Rav Yochanan Tana, Tini bitlu chayev lo bitlu pater." So the Gemara says, "Look, none of this is a problem, meaning because we're doing all this in explanation of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan also happens to be of the opinion of bitlu v'lo bitlu, meaning so. What was your question? It doesn't work if you subscribe to kimu v'lo kimu." Not a problem. We are explaining the sheet of Rav Yochanan, and it coordinates with the Rav Yochanan because he holds bitla v'lo bitla. Okay. And the Gemara now goes on to present this actual machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Didn't he tana kama to Rav Yochanan? The following Amara said over a brice in front of Rav Yochanan, and it goes like this. Called mitzvah lo sase shishba kamase. Okay, so in other words, again, our discussion, lavani tak lase. So, kiyam ase shaba pater. If you immediately fulfill the ase after violating the lav, okay, you're going to get off the hook. However, bitul ase shaba, but once you actively negate it, chayiv. So then you're going to be chayiv. Now, the brisa as presented is confusing. Amalei my kamart, and Rav Yochanan points out, you're not saying the brisa correctly. Kiyam pater lo kiyam chayiv. Bitul chayiv lo bitul pater. Look, the contrast in the brisa has to be, you have to be consistent. Meaning, is the brisa telling us that your first opportunity to do the assay and failure to do the assay results in a violation of the law, that's kiyem, versus lo kiyem, or bito velo bito? Or no, maybe the brisa is saying that you have to actively negate until you do so, you have an opportunity to make it up. And after you actively negate, you obviously lost your opportunity to make it up. So the Gemara says, So Rav Yochanan says to the Amora, so now let me tell you how to say the Braisa correctly. Bitlo velo bitlo. So Rav Yochanan says the correct way to say it is bitlo velo bitlo. And again, that means that according to Rav Yochanan, so you have a lav nitak lase. So you violated the lav. Did you violate the lav yet? So Rav Yochanan say, well, no, not yet, because the Torah gives you a way to make it up. And you have a extended time to make it up. In fact, it's not even contingent on time. Time is not the factor. When do you have to make it up to? As long as you have an opportunity to make it up. And as long as you didn't actively negate that opportunity, you're still not violating the law. Masha ein kein Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish amar, kimu v'lo kimu. And Reish Lakish says, no, kimu v'lo kimu. What will be the determining factor in terms of whether or not you violated the law? First opportunity. After violating the law, you have an opportunity to make it up. You miss that first opportunity. You didn't make it up. And again, I'd love to attach a time to it. I don't have one to attach because the Gemara doesn't say. But you have your first chance to make it up. You didn't make it up. That's it. Now you're in violation of the law. Okay. So what we have over here is a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in a law of nitak la'asei. How do we view the asei? Is it now, according to Rav Yochanan, is it not? Let's present it like this. According to Rav Yochanan, you view the assay, lavani tak lassay, you view the assay as a chance to undo that which you did, and a continuous chance to undo that which you did. Which means that really the lav is not on the books. Until step two, you actively negate the opportunity to make it up. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, no, lav happens immediately. The Torah gives you a chance to make it up, but that's it, just a chance. If you had the opportunity, you didn't do it within that short window of time after you violated the law, so that's it. Now it's on the books. I would love to attach a time interval. I don't have one to say. I don't know. Well, stealing the Gemara is going to be discussing in just a little bit. Stealing is a little bit funny because that's really a payment. Okay, so it's not, the Gemara later on will point out it's not the best example. Okay, I know, right? The principles are very nice. We'd love to see examples of this. Okay, examples are coming up.
But you go by
Avraham Yochanan anyway, right? Yeah. So, but my kamiflegi. But asra safik kamiflegi, mar safik shma asra, mar safik shma asra, mar lo shma asra. And the Gemara says, and you know what is also a corollary to this debate, is whether or not asra safik. Because consider, right, your sheet is Rav Yochanan. You see somebody violating a lav. And again, we're talking only about lav and itak lasei. You see somebody violating a lav. And you say to him, don't do that. And he looks at you and says, you're right, I shouldn't do it. But I'm going to do it. And he does it. Did he violate the law? So not yet. Meaning because for a law and itak lasei, according to Rav Yochanan, it's a two-step. Step one, you violate the law. Step two, then you have to do something that actively negates your opportunity, your ability to undo that which you did. So every time you're warning somebody on a law and itak lasei, we don't know if he's violating the law yet. And it will only come at a later stage, and it will only come when he does something else. So according to Rav Yochanan, this is what's called over here Asrat Safik. You're warning, but you're warning out of doubt, because you don't know.
Doesn't it have to be warned with the penalty? Yeah, and the penalty is that you're going to get Malkus. But when is he going to get Malkus? Huh? Yeah, yes. But in other words, but we don't know. Right now at this juncture, we don't know if he's going to get Malkus. Because there's another event that has to occur in order for him to get Malkus. Right, but again, but if not, but it's not just this; it's this plus a later point in time, him negating that opportunity. So the So according to Rav Yochanan, as long as you lay down the warning, even though the warning is built on a contingency, and even though the contingency hasn't been fulfilled yet, it's a warning. It's a good warning. And Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Hasra Safik Lo Shmei Hasra. It's not going to be good Asra. So therefore, according to Reish Lakish, it fits in better with his Shita. Because according to Reish Lakish, when do you violate the Lav? Almost immediately. Meaning, again, you have a chance afterwards to make it up, but if you miss that, if you had the chance, you miss the opportunity, that's it. The Lav now registers as a Lav.
So the warning had to be right immediately before the guy does it, right?
Yeah, correct.
So,
correct. And according to Reish Lakish,
this is an omission thing. So he's like saying, don't omit this, but he don't know when he's going to omit it, right?
Are you within Rav Yochanan or Reish Lakish right now?
Rav Yochanan,
that's exactly the point. Rav Yochanan's fine with that. He's comfortable. He's comfortable with Hasra Safik. Even though there's going to be a built-in contingent. No, in other words, the Hasra has to come before step one, but even though the Lav is not violated until there's a step two. And that step two can happen a month from now, a year from now. It doesn't matter. Rav Yochanan says, as long as Asra was given before step one, so then we're good. Even though there's a built-in contingency. I know it's a lot to think about. I know. It's a heavy concept.
Is there a second Hasra required if he's going to destroy the possibility of
seemingly not. Seemingly not. Well, the Tamayu, and the Gemara now, as we are approaching the end of this Amud, says the Itmar. Look, and I'll show you a great consistency in their positions. Shvur she'ochel kikar zeh. So a person wakes up in the morning, looks at that loaf of bread, and says, I'm bound by a shvua that I'm going to eat that loaf of bread. So kikar zeh ayom va'avar ayom v'lo achla. By the end of today, sun setting, I'm going to have eaten that bread. And he's bound by a shvua to do so. And the day went and he didn't eat it. So Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Amar Tavayu in a loke. Now he's not going to get Malkus. And Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish both agree he's not going to get Malkus. But here comes the important part. Why is he not going to get Malkus? So Rav Yochanan Amar in a loke mishum David Lav Shem B'maisa. Yeah, because you know how he violated his Shavua? By inaction. And like we've said time and again, a Lav Shem B'maisa, Amar's not going to get Malkus. And Reish Lakish says he's not going to get Malkus. Why? Because the when you warn him, think about what you're warning. In the morning, after he made the Shavua, so you say to him, hey, you better eat that loaf of bread, otherwise you're going to get Malkus. Now, is that true? It may be true, meaning we still have a full day ahead of us. He still has a full day to go ahead and to eat that bread. And even if at midday he was warned, he still has a half a day. And yes, Rashi does note that maybe you can get him the moment before the day comes to an end. But that's very difficult. It's nearly impossible. In other words, whenever you're warning him, you're really not sure whether or not he's going to be in violation. And for Reish Lakish, this is what we've been discussing. This is called Hasra Safek. And for Reish Lakish, the reason why he's not going to get Malkus is because the warning does not comply to a valid warning. Because you don't know if he is or is not going to violate the Isser after you issued the warning. V'chol Hasra Safek lo Shmei Hasra. Vitarvayu, so stay tuned. Vitarvayu aliba de Rabbi Yehuda de Tanya. And the Gemara points out that both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan arrive at this conclusion based on a statement that is made by Rabbi Yehuda, a statement that we've already heard a number of times. We get to hear it again. Lo sasir mimenu ad bokev, anosa mimenu ad bokev, v'chulei, ba'kazolite nasei achalosa, asei lama shein lokan alav, div Rabbi Yehuda. So we know Rabbi Yehuda says that the case of Nosar is a classic example in the Torah of a lav and itak lasei. Don't leave carbon over. And if you do leave carbon over, so you violate the lav. So, but the Torah says, but there's a way to repair. And that is, take whatever nosar you have left over, and ba'esh tisrofu, and burn it in fire. Fine, so we have a lav, and we have followed up by an aseh, a lav, and itak laseh. Now, Rav Yochanan, dayek hachi. Now, Rav Yochanan says, look, Rav Yehuda's statement is perfectly clear. Now, what if there wasn't an aseh? I know that's a funny question. But what if there wasn't an aseh? then what would have happened? Obviously, he would have gotten Malkus. Why would he have gotten Malkus? So, Deba Kasav Halo, Ba Kasav Loke, Ama Dasra Safik Shema Asra. Now, Rav Yochanan says, well, consider. Meaning, had there not been an assay, he would have gotten Malkus, right? Well, let's think about this. Meaning, there's carbon that he's got to eat, and he has a deadline in which to eat it. And you say to him, let's say it's a shlamim, so that means he has 2 days. So you say to him sometime during day number one, hey, you gotta finish this up. And if you don't finish it up, you're gonna get Malkus. Again, we're right now pretending, I know it's a funny sentence. We're pretending the assay doesn't exist. So now, he's gonna get Malkus. But why? I warn him on day one and I say, don't eat it. I'm sorry, you better finish this up, otherwise you're gonna be leaving over Nosar, and that's a lav. Yeah, but he's not violating the lav until the end of the second day. And even if I go on day two, same story. In other words, you'll still have more time. Every time I warn him, it's Asra Safik. And again, if there's no Asay, so he's going to get Malkus. So Rav Yochanan says, so what did we just all learn together? That Asra Safik is a valid Asra. And Reish Lakish Dayachachi. And Reish Lakish will basically do the same thing. Meaning, let's pretend there's no Asay. So he's going to get Malkus. Time of the Ba'akas of Halo, Ba'akas of Loke, I'm a love, Shema, Maisa, Loke, and a love. Reish Lakish will tell you, yeah, you know why you're going to get Malkus? Even though it's a lav shein b'maisa, meaning what do you have to do to violate this sister in the Torah? Nothing. That's exactly the point. You're leaving over Nosar. You're doing nothing. And you're violating the lav. And again, if there's no assay, you're going to get Malkus. Okay. So it's a lav shein b'maisa, you're going to get Malkus. Rav Shimon Malkish Nami ha vade asra safik hu. So the Gemara says, now, you can't ignore that Rav Yochanan's right. He's right. Meaning, when you warn him, it is Asra Tzafik, because you don't know if he's going to violate the Isser. So, Savala ki idach tana de Rav Yehuda de Tanya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Reish Lakish has more information. And specifically, he knows the following brisa that was said over in the name of Rav Yochanan. As we discussed back in Sanhedrin, for hitting one's father and producing a wound after hitting one's father or mother, so one is going to be subject to Misa b'de Adam. It's a capital crime. Okay, the case over here the Gemara is entertaining is where the person has two fathers. Now, I know that's very difficult to understand. Biologically, it's impossible. And halakhically, it's also impossible. But here's the possibility, however. A woman gets a divorce from one man. She needs to wait 3 months before marrying the next husband. She decides 2 months later, that's it, enough of being alone. She marries another man within 2 months after her divorce. And then she has a baby 7 months later. And now, who's dad? Okay, so great. So nowadays we may be able to test. Okay, but back in the good old days, so we don't know. And then now, so here we have a child whose father is maybe A or B. Could be either way. And so now he hits one of his fathers. So obviously shouldn't, but hits one of his fathers. Is he going to be chayv misa? Of course not. Because there's a chance it's his father, but it's that he doesn't know for sure it's his father. So what if he hits both of them? So that's what we're talking about now. So according to the Tanakhama, you hit both of them, and it doesn't matter if it's concurrent or sequential, it doesn't matter. In other words, you hit both of them, so therefore you're going to be chayv. You're going to be liable to the death penalty. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar b'vasachas chayv b'zachas zeh pater. Now Rabbi Yehuda in this brisa says, well, if you hit them both simultaneously, I have this picture of this like long rod, and the two of them are lined up, and he gets a whack of both of them at the same time. So under those circumstances, so then he's going to be chayiv. Otherwise, zeh or zeh, sequentially he's not going to be chayiv. And why is he not going to be chayiv? And the answer is very simple. Because the witnesses who are issuing the warning right now, well, don't hit him. Why? He may be your father. Okay, that's Asra Safik. Well, don't hit him. Why? Because he may be your father. Okay, but again, Hasra Safik. The only time that I'll know for sure that he is his father if he hits them both simultaneously. So this brisa clearly indicates that according to Rav Yehuda, Hasra Safik is not going to be Hasra. Rav Yochanan Nami Avad Elav Shem B'Maisehu. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's turn our attention to Rav Yochanan. Now Rav Yochanan negates, again, in the case of Nosar, so he makes a deduction based on the case of Nosar. The Gemara says, yeah, but Reish Lakish is also right. It's Elav Shem B'Maisehu. And again, the Gemara is going to point out that Rav Yochanan has more information. So, several laki had Amr of Idi Bravin, Amr of Amram, Amr of Yitzhak, Amr of Yochanan, Rav Yehuda, Omer Mishum, Rav Yosef Aglili. So, this is a long chain of Amorim saying it all the way in the name of Tanayim. I call it a memra, meaning it's not a brisa, but it's a memra reporting what a Tana said. And this goes back to Rav Yehuda's quotes. Rav Yossi Galilei saying the following: Kol lo sasish b'torah lav sheyesh b'maisa lokin alav lav she'ein b'maisa ein lokin alav. If it's a lav she'ein b'maisa, you're not going to get malchus, with notable exceptions. Chutz min anishba meimar v'mekalz chaveru b'shem. Three notable exceptions where even though it's a lav she'ein b'maisa, you're going to get malchus: shvua shav, which is our next masechta that we're going to be learning together; tamura, coming up, you know, later down the road in the Daf Yomi; and mekalz chaveru b'shem, and cursing your friend using Shem Hashem. Those are the three notable exceptions where you are going to get Malkus, even though these are Dibur, they are not Maisa, but they are the exceptions. The rule is, La Shem Maisa, you're not going to get Malkus. So now, what do we have right now? So we have Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish both looking at the same opinion of Rav Yehuda regarding Nosar and arriving at two different conclusions. Reish Lakish's conclusion is supported by the statement of Rav Yehuda regarding hitting his father, where Rav Yehuda says if you hit them simultaneously, you're Chayiv Misa. If you hit them Zachar, say you're not Chayiv Misa. That clearly demonstrates, that clearly illustrates that, so, that Hasra Safik is not considered Hasra. Whereas according to Rav Yochanan, Lav Shem B'Maisa, you're not going to get Malkus. Again, the case of Nosar is a Lav Shem B'Maisa. And the case that we're learning, and not the case, but the rule that we just learned together, quoting the name of Rav Yehuda, is Lav Shem B'Maisa, you're not going to get Malkus. So that's great. Everything is great, but when you take all this information that we just learned together, and you try to put it all together, it doesn't work out. And the Gemara now makes exactly that point. Kashi de Rav Yehuda de Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, now, try to put all these sheets as Rav Yehuda's that we just learned together. It doesn't mesh well. So, Eila Reish Lakish, Trey Tanai Aliba de Rav Yehuda. So, for Reish Lakish, he'll simply tell you, look, I know. Meaning, the Rav Yehuda that I quoted regarding, the Rav Yehuda that I quoted regarding hitting your father, that's a case of Asra Safik, let's not consider Asra. And the other Rav Yehuda's quoted, somebody misquoted Rav Yehuda. And Eila Rabbi Yochanan Lokasha Hadideh Hadarabe. And if you hold like Rav Yochanan, again, a similar idea. Meaning, that last point that we just made regarding Rabbi Yehuda, that was Rabbi Yehuda saying in the name of Rabbi Yosef Glili. But that's not Rabbi Yehuda's own position that's which he's espousing. Okay. Where are we right now in the Gemara? So let's just quickly recap. We have now a very basic and principled machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of Alav Anitak Lase. Alav Anitak Lase, when a person violates a law, and there is an opportunity for reparation, for undoing that which he did. The Torah gives a formula, a tailor-made essay to undo that which he did. So under those circumstances, he's not going to get malchus. This is what we call a law nitak laseh. And now what's on the table is the following discussion. Well, when do you violate the law and a law nitak laseh? According to Rav Yochanan, the violation of the law only comes with two steps, because he subscribes to this concept of bitlo v'lo bitlo. And the two steps are, one, he has to violate the law, and two, he has to actively negate the opportunity to undo that which he did. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, no, the law is violated almost immediately. There is a chance, the Torah does give a chance for reparation, but just a chance. Once the chance comes and goes, that's it. He violated the law. So it's not two steps. It's a step with a moment afterwards in order for him to try to undo that which he did.
What's the difference if just different between what's the bottom line if he fixes the problem that he did? What's the difference between if it's one step or one step? Like Shlaki says it's two steps, but Avichana says one step.
So according to
what's the bottom line? What's the difference for him?
Right, the practical difference would be that according to Rav Yochanan, you have not. I mean, first, before we get to the practical difference, meaning the reason why the Gemara brought this in is because of the case of the Ones, Ma'anis, where he married her and then he divorced her. And the Gemara said, well, that the remarriage is his chance, his opportunity to undo that which he did was already built into the marriage. Meaning that when he marries his anusa for the first time, so it says if the Masada Kedushin says that you are going to marry her, and if in the event you divorce her, you'll have a chance to remarry her again. That only works, meaning that concept only works according to Rav Yochanan. Meaning conceptually, that can't even work for Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish won't entertain such an idea that you can have now a lav that has an extension, so to say. So number one, meaning point number one is that for Reish Lakish, you can't even entertain such an idea that I'm gonna violate the law and then I will have a lengthy period of time to undo that which I did. So Reish Lakish won't even entertain that idea. Right, correct. But that's only immediately. Right. Meaning, but what if it's not immediate? Uh-huh. In other words, so now according to Reish Lakish, you get Malkus. Yeah. See, huh? Right, in other words, right, there's just a short window of time afterwards and that's it. Okay. So now, now that we're all here, so now the Gemara is going to discuss examples. All right, I told you earlier this morning, we're going to see examples. The Gemara now is going to go through a number of examples. So, let's start off with the following Tananhas, and we learned in the Mishnah over there. Mishnah over there is in the Mishnah, it's in Chulin, towards the end of the Masechta, there's an entire parak dedicated to the mitzvah Shiluach HaKen. Shiluach HaKen, or one of the more exciting mitzvahs in the Torah, is that in the event that I see a mother bird hovering over her nest, hovering over either the chicks or the eggs, and I want the chicks or the eggs, so what I'll do is I will send away the mother bird as per the instructions of the Torah, Shalech to Shalech HaZaim, and then I take the chicks and I take the eggs and I fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah. And the Torah also says, Lo sikach, don't take the mother bird right while the chicks are there. Right while the eggs are there. Don't do that. Now, right, remember the Mishnah Brachos is discussing and describing, is this because the Torah doesn't want us to be cruel? Again, that's Tamei HaMitzvos, that's, you know, it's its own separate discussion. But right now, for our purposes, we are looking at this so clinically because we're interested in this. This is an example of an asay and a los asay. And what happens in the event that I take the mother bird? So what can I do now? So ostensibly, what I can do is correctable, right? Meaning, what I could do is I could just simply return the mother bird to the nest, or maybe that step isn't even necessary. I could then send away the mother bird, and then I could take the chicks. So even if I violate the Isra in the Torah of Lo Sike Chaim Alabanim, don't take the mother bird right in front of the children, but it's repairable. Says the Mishnah, or it's a Mishnah in Chulin. Tanan Hazamanota Aim Alabanim, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lokovena Mashalech. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, once you take the mother bird away, so that's it, you're going to get Malkus. And there's no chance of being Mashalech. However, Chachamim Omrim, Mashalech Ve'eno Lokem. And the Chachamim say, you send away the mother bird, and you're not going to get Malkus. Ze haklal kol mitzvos lo sase sheish bakum asay ein chayaven alaha. And so now the rule is that when you have a mitzvos asay, when you have a lo sase, when you have a lav, and the Torah gives you a way in which you're going to rectify the situation, you're not going to be subject to Malkus because you have a way of repairing. Am Rav Yochanan ein lanu elazos v'od acheres. So now Rav Yochanan says, now remember, the same Rav Yochanan who subscribes to the concept of bitlo v'lo bitlo. Meaning, at what point in time now are you going to be in violation of the law, according to Rav Yochanan? So the violation of the law is only going to come about when you actively negate the opportunity to undo that which you did. So mishalech means, as long as you have a chance to send away the mother bird, you're good. You will be okay, meaning you will not be in violation of the law. As long as you have a chance of sending away the mother bird. When will that chance come to an end? Meaning, how do you actively negate your opportunity? You kill the mother bird. Once you kill the mother bird, now you have actively negated it. Now you have violated the law in complete, in total. Fine.
So basically, you took the mother bird already in front of the chicks.
Yeah, right.
How do you fix that? You
fix it by now sending away, right, that's why.
But you did the damage already.
Correct. But the Torah says now there's a chance to undo it. In other words, you put the mother bird back and you send away. Now, again, I understand that you and I are like looking at the emotional damage that you did, right? No, I'm with you. I'm actually with you. The emotional damage that you did, in other words, again, we are clinicians right now. We're just looking at the law per se and the assay per se.
And
it's nitak laasei, and the lav does not actually finalize and complete it until you actively blow your chance of making it up. And killing the mother bird would be an active way of making it up. So, right, okay. So now, Rav Yochanan makes the following statement: Ein lanu ela zos ve'od acheres. So how many examples do we have of a lava nitak lase? Meaning that in order for it to qualify as a lava nitak lase, there has to be a chance and opportunity for you to blow it. So this the mother bird example is a great example, where you can actively mess yourself up. You can actively play defense against yourself. Okay, that's great. What is another example of a lava nitak lase that works like this? So Amar Lei, okay, good. So the Gemara now is going to discuss. So Amar Lei Rav Elazar Hecha. So Rav Elazar says to Rav Yochanan, can you tell us? Meaning we'd love to hear it. So Amar Lei Lechi Tishkach. So Rav Yochanan says to Rav Elazar, you really want me to make it that easy for you? You do some research. You go home tonight. go study it up. You come back at me with examples. I'm not spoon feeding. Now, I know I just gave a narrative over here, but okay. Anyway, nafak, so he goes back, Doc, and he goes and investigates the matter, and ve'ashkach the tanya. So now Rav Elazar comes back to Rav Yochanan and says, I think I have another example. Another example of a lavani teklase, and again, according to Rav Yochanan, the parameter of lavani teklase has to be where you're actively blowing your opportunity of making good. So onish agirish im yisohu machzer ven alokev im kohen hu alokev ena machzer. So let's talk about the case of the onis. A man's man is a woman. We discussed this yesterday. We discussed this already once today. A man's man is a woman. The Torah instructs. You have to marry her. Torah also gives you a lav. Right? I'm sorry. Torah says, velosi elisha, you marry her. And the Torah says that you're not allowed to divorce her. And if you divorce her, then what?
You have to remarry
her. Is there a chance where you can actively negate your chance of remarrying her? So the Gemara says, Hani chalaman didni kimo velo kimo. So if you subscribe to the idea of kimo velo kimo, so it actually works out. Meaning, because when you divorce her, so if you miss your first chance of remarrying her, so that's it. That's a lav. But elamad amartini bitlo velo bitlo. So the Gemara says bitlo velo bitlo. Now, how is that going to work over here? Meaning, how do you actively negate your chance of remarrying her?
Caleb, you don't.
Okay, good. So Phil, good. So Phil's got the right idea. So you kill her. That's all. It's that simple. That's right. So. Okay. Okay. Good. David, your solution not only works out a little bit better just in terms of sympathetically, so but also your solution is what the Gemara is going to end up saying. Well, you'll see. What David said is what the Gemara is going to say. But you know, David's been here some time though. He already, you know, he's got the hang of this. So the Gemara says shaluach ken, so good. So you kill the bird. But Ella ones bilav la bila hechimishkachala idikatla. So the Gemara says, here's how you actively negate your opportunity. After you divorce her, you kill her. Okay. That's good, right? So kamle bidirabimine. So the Gemara says, no, it's not good. Meaning. And I'm not talking about not good meaning, it's not good to kill her. I mean, that's kind of obvious. The problem over here is as follows. Look, we're looking for a situation where there's going to be now a malchus opportunity. Meaning, a malchus opportunity is that it's a lav. You had an assay to rectify the situation, but the assay now comes and goes. And again, for Rav Yochanan, comes and goes is not enough. You have to actively negate that chance of it going. And here now, the Gemara is entertaining an idea where I'll actively negate it by killing her. Oh yeah, but you know what that means? I kill her. Now I'm chayv misa, and I'm not going to get malchus because of the principle of kam lebeder abimineh. So that's not. It's not going to work. Meaning, we're looking for a situation where I'm evatel the assay actively, so that I'll get malchus.
What if she was raw death and you're killing her in self defense? So then you're not going to be getting death.
Oh, she's attacking you.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And then, oh, okay.
Okay.
So, okay, good. Okay, let me think. I'll think about that. Huh? Okay, excellent. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's how you can actively negate the opportunity. She makes you a shliach to accept kedushin from somebody else. Now, I understand that this is, you know, as far as drama is concerned, as far as a strange dynamic, I understand it's an extraordinarily strange dynamic. But let's put aside all the dysfunction over here and just look at it from a very clinical standpoint. He's now actively participating in missing now, losing the opportunity of remarrying her, because he's going to be the shliach to accept kedusha on behalf of somebody else. So Amar Rav Isha v'isa shliach I kamavat lalei. So the Gemara says, well, no. The Gemara says, because if she's the one who made him a shliach, so it's not him, it's her. In other words, and when you subscribe to the idea of bittul, it means you have to actively negate the opportunity, negate the possibility. Elosha v'isa shliach kol kamineya v'lo klumi. So the Gemara says, and if she didn't make you a shliach, so you can't just accept kedushin on her behalf if she didn't make you a shliach. So Elam Rav Shimi Menarda kigon shiidira berabim. Oh, the Gemara says, here's how we can do it. We'll do it where he divorces her and then he makes a neder. I'm never getting hana from her again. So the Gemara says, but that's not bittul. Bittul means it has to be irrevocable. Making a neder is not irrevocable. Now, hanich lamandamar neder shu debarabim elo afar lamandamar yishlo afar maikel amemar. Now, making neder publicly, some are of the opinion that's irrevocable, some are of the opinion that it is revocable. So if you subscribe to the idea that's irrevocable, so then fine. But there are those who say that's revocable. So the Gemara says, "Demadir la al das rabim damar meimer yochas an neder shuuda berabim yesh lafar al das rabim ein lafar." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so there is a way to do it. Al das rabim. I'm making a neder not based on my das, but based on the public das."
But the thing is,
just one second.
Based with the mayor, I could have a neder against it.
Wait 1 second. I hear, but let's just spell this out. So I made a neder on the das of the rabim, and now, because the neder now is irrevocable, so now I have permanently, irrevocably negated the opportunity of undoing that which I did. Gemara says that would be an example.
If he has a mitzvah to marry her, how can I have neder not?
Right. I agree. But the Gemara over here, says he can. Meaning, I do hear your question, but it's the neder. Right. It's okay.
How about after you divorce her, you marry her sister?
No, you can't do that in the first place.
Yeah, she has to die, and then that brings us back to the, you know, to the, then the Gemara suggestion of killing her. right.
In the case of being a
cause. So then it's automatic. It's automatic. It's not right. So the Gemara said earlier he's going to get Malkus immediately. Okay. Vesuleka, the Gemara says, now you're telling me that there are no other examples. The Gemara says it's not true. There are other examples. Meaning, you're Rav Yochanan, and you say that Lavni Taklasei is going to have to be only in the case of Bittul, of actively negating the ability. So the Gemara says, and so far, what do we have now according to Rav Yochanan? We got two examples, and that's it. Just two examples. So one is being Shiluch Haken, where you kill the mother bird after you take the mother bird away. And two would be where the Ma'anis divorces his wife, and now, how does he negate the opportunity? After the divorce, he makes a neder al-das rabim. Those are right now our two examples. The Gemara, again, just give me a second. I know that you think it's a lot to think about. Let's go through the Gemara. V'su leka v'aika, the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following? Gezel derechmana amar lo sigzo v'ashif es egzela. Mashkun derechmana amar lo savo al-beso la'avora v'to v'ashif tashivlo. Havo kivo ha-shemesh. So the Gemara says, u'mishka'acha la b'kaima v'lo kimu b'lo v'lo b'lo. So the Gemara says, now here we just have two examples, which seem to be ironclad examples, of either theft or taking collateral. Torah says in both circumstances, don't do that. Don't take something that doesn't belong to you. And if you do so, you have a chance of repairing it by returning it. Or in the case of Mashkon, Torah says, you have a borrower who borrowed money from you. He's an ani. Torah says, don't take a Mashkon from him. And now if you do so, so you have a chance of repairing it by just simply returning back the Mashkon. So these are both examples. And how can I negate it? Negating is very simple. You negate it by destroying that which you stole. You negate it by destroying the mashkon. So we have now two seemingly very good examples of a case of alav niteklase where I can be mevato. The Gemara says, "Hasim kevim dechav b'tashlumim ein lokum mashalim." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but those are not good examples because those are subject to tashlumim. Meaning, when I steal something and I destroy that which I stole, I still got to pay. There has to be remuneration. So then, in other words, then once I have an obligation to pay, ein lokin umashalim." You don't give malchus and pay.
What about the case of a guy who rapes his wife's sister?
Do me a favor. Let's first. Okay. Let's. I want to remain. I want to remain focused. So, Masker. I mean, no. There's no time. No. He's just. He has. It's a chov. It's an obligation. Maskev la Rav Zera ha'ika mashkanosho ger u'meita ger. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following? In other words, takes a mashkan from a convert. Convert has no family members. Convert dies. So now, what does he get to do? He gets to keep the mashkan. So here, Hasam, I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, Hasam gavra bar tashlumemu vishibura degiru de kapaka. So the Gemara says, but again, that doesn't change anything. Meaning, because really fundamentally, it is a monetary obligation. It just happens to be that because he's a ger, because he has no family members, so there's no address of where to send the money to. But there's still, at least in theory, a chov, a monetary obligation, and so he's not going to get malchus. So the Gemara says, v'ha'ikapea. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following? And again, we're trying to rack our brains of examples of a lavanitak lase, where you can actively negate your ability. So the Gemara says, what about the mitzvah peya? The Rachman Amar lo sechal pas. So we have a law in the Torah that you can't destroy the corner of your field, meaning you must leave a corner of the field for the poor. But it's a law, meaning it's a negative prohibition. Meaning if you harvest your entire field, you violated the law. And meanwhile, v'la'ani v'la'ger ta'azov osam. Now, on top of that, if let's say you harvested your whole field, okay, so you violated the law, no problem. You take the portion that you harvested from the corner and you give it to the ger. So it's undoable. The mishkachla bekimo v'lokimo bilo v'lo bidlo did none. And the Gemara says, and can I negate this ability? Sure. Mitzvah pe'al ha'afrish min hakama. So first, the best way to do the mitzvah is while the stalk is still connected to the ground. Now lo hifrish min hakama ma'afrish min ha'omrim. Lo hifrish min ha'omrim ma'afrish min ha'kri. Ad shelo miruch. Mirchu ma'isa v'nosein lo. I'm sorry. V'nosein lo. And you have a continuous opportunity to keep giving it to the ani, even after processing, even after you smooth off the top of the pile, you know exactly how much you have, even though now there's a chi of meiser. Well, that's fine. You just simply take off meiser and you give it to the ani. The reason why you have to take off meiser is because once you do miruach, now it's chayv and shumas and meisros, and whatever you give to the ani, now he has to take off shumas and meisros, whereas the mitzvah is to give him produce that doesn't need to take off shumas and meisros. That's fine. So you take off the shumas and meisros and then you give it to the ani. Anyway, what do we see over here? A situation where it's a lav and itak lase and you can negate. And how do you negate? Really simply, by destroying it. So the Gemara says, "Kid Rabbi Shmuel, Damer Af Mafresh Mina Isa." So the Gemara says, "Well, according to Rabbi Shmuel, so even if you made it into dough, you still have an obligation to give it to him." Well, the Rabbi Shmuel, "Nami Mishkachala Da Achalisa." So the Gemara says, "Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, well, if you eat it, so that's it; you've negated your opportunity." Ela Zos Vaos Avodacheres Aha Aval Ones Lo. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? This is actually a better example. So the Gemara says, so I take it back. Meaning Rav Yochanan says there are two examples where it's a Lavanitak Lase. Rav Yochanan subscribes to this, the Lavanitak Lase being under the category of Bittel. And the Gemara says, this with Peya is a better example. So if it's a better example, so then what was the other example that we set up? Ones. The Gemara says, I'm going to take it out. Why? Aval Ones Lo. Dehechar min al-das rabbi main lo afar al-dvar harishus. So now, Ben, this is the point you were making earlier. And the Gemara says, well, look, when it comes to making a neder, I understand making a neder for something which is optional and volitional. But for something like a mitzvah, even if it's al das rabim, it's revocable. Because consider, meaning, what does neder al das rabim mean? It means, no longer am I going to be working with what I want, it's what the public wants. When we say with the public, obviously we mean the Jewish public. Does the Jewish public want me to do a mitzvah? Of course. Right? Every Jew wants every Jew to do a mitzvah. And so when I make a neder adas rabim and it's a mitzvah, it is absolutely revocable. The public's going to want you to do a mitzvah. And the Gemara says, and I'll give you an example. So there was a Rebbe, and he was posheya. He was negligent. Okay, well, what he actually did... Okay, let's say he was abusive. Let's say he wasn't just a good rabbi. Whatever the case was, but then Adre Rav Acha v'Ahadre. So Rav Acha made a neder that he's not going to work again. And then again, I don't know all the details of the scenario in terms of what he did to correct himself, or maybe they couldn't find somebody better. Whatever the details were, And they are important, by the way. I'm not minimizing it. But whatever the details were, but basically, even though a neder was made, and in the context of a Gemara, let's assume it was a neder al das rabim, they revoked the neder and they reinstalled them. Now, the Hadri Ravina, Deloy Shakech the Dai Kavase. Ravina brought him back, and Ravina said, look, we don't have anyone better. And so we're going to bring him back. And so basically, the Gemara is making now the same point. Well, you made a neder. And again, in the context of the Gemara, let's assume it's al das rabin. You made a neder. How could you revoke the neder? It's a mitzvah. Talmud Torah, it's a mitzvah. And we couldn't find anyone better. So for a mitzvah, you're allowed to revoke the neder. So the Gemara says, same thing with the ma'anes. After marrying his anusa, he then divorces her, and then he makes a neder. Al das rabin, doesn't matter. Meaning, it's not irrevocable. It is revocable because it's a mitzvah. Okay. Good place to stop. Okay. We have now finished the sugya of Lav and Itak Laseh. Granted, it's for sure in the Masechta, one of the more difficult sugyas. And obviously, there's a lot to consider over here. And I highly recommend reviewing. I'm talking to myself a lot.